Welcome to Elevate. I'm so happy you're here with me today, and I cannot wait to share this episode with you. As an evidence-based coach, mentor, and entrepreneur, I'm obsessed with learning and personal development as it's transformed my entire life, as well as those I get to work with. And to be quite frank, it's literally the entire reason this podcast exists, to fuel your growth, gain perspective, and acquire knowledge. So buckle up, friends, you're in for a treat. And as always, thank you for supporting me and the show so we can continue to elevate our own lives as well as those you share this with. Now, let's get into it. What's going on, friends? And welcome back to another sit and chat with me around something that I think is way more prevalent and a lot of people carry a ton of shame around. And today we're going to talk about binge eating. Now, this is something that's really prevalent, especially with the culture and the pressure to fit a certain ideal, a certain body type, a certain look. And for a lot of women who believe that their worth comes from their physical body. Now, I also want to make sure that I am very clear. I'm not saying that healthy at every size is a great movement overall, and I'll talk about that in another video. But today, I just want to dive into why you might be binge eating, how you know if you're binge eating versus overeating, and how we can start to overcome that. So again, this is a topic that many of us grapple with. Now, maybe you've been here before, a kitchen cluttered with the remnants of snacks, a heart heavy with guilt, and lingering questions of why. Before we dive in, I think it's really important to share some hard-hitting statistics around binge eating. And studies show that around 2.8 million people in the United States are affected by binge eating disorder. This makes it the most prevalent eating disorder in the country. It's more than just a personal battle. It's a shared experience by millions of people. So why does binge eating often become a shadow in the journey towards weight loss? Well, research tells us that restrictive nature of diets, especially those promising rapid results, can trigger episodes of binge eating. The more that we try to control, the stronger the cravings become. And this is why I always tell you guys, if the methods are just unsustainable, the results are also unsustainable. And there are millions of different people trying to leverage your insecurity to make a dollar that will leave you broken. Right? There are long-term consequences to short-term stupidity, and I don't want you to get into this position because I work with hundreds of women who have struggled with their relationship with their food, with their relationship with exercise, with their relationship with their body, and they continue to seek out stuff that's on the surface, and the problem is it exacerbates the problem. It continues to amplify it. So if you're one of these people that's trying to do this ridiculously restrictive things and cut out carbs and cut out fats and cut out proteins and cut out sugars and cut out anything, if the diet requires you to cut something out, especially if it's something that you enjoy, that is the biggest red flag. Now, binge eating often extends beyond the realm of physical hunger. It becomes a coping mechanism, a way to deal with stress, emotions, or even boredom. One of my clients, like many of us, found solace in the temporary comfort that food provided for during challenging times. And I think it's also really important that I don't name drop here because that's irrelevant. Again, with a number of people that struggle with this, I just want you to know that you are not alone. And it's crucial to grasp that binge eating goes beyond the emotional turmoil that you'll experience from it. The biological impact on health is absolutely profound. Research suggests that frequent episodes of binge eating can contribute to weight gain, insulin resistance, and increased risk of metabolic disorders. And a lot of people talk about their hormones and all the things that they struggle with. And I think it's really important to look at your behavior with food, your relationship with food, how you cope with certain things, uncomfortable things. If you fear abandonment and every time your spouse leaves, you're just in the cupboard trying to figure out what's going on and you tell yourself, it's just time for me to relax. Be careful with the stories that you will tell yourself around the behavior that you continue to embody, the behavior that you continue to manifest for yourself, because I'm telling you, there's always going to be that voice that rationalizes the decision that you're about to make, and it's likely not the one that has your best interest at heart. Now, when it comes to binge eating versus emotional eating, I do think it's important to draw a fine line in the sand here. Now, both may have mindless behavior. You eat too much without thinking about why. But there are also real differences between overeating and binge eating. Right, general examples of overeating are having more than one dessert after dinner, finishing a whole bag of popcorn while watching a movie. When you eat too much because of a stressful event, such as a romantic breakup, it's sometimes called emotional eating. Examples of binge eating, however, are sneaking a large bag of candy into your room and finishing it in secret, eating a whole cake in one sitting and then feeling guilty, finishing 3 burgers even when you're already uncomfortably full. So everybody overeats from time to time, but binge eating disorder is different, and you need to understand that. Again, everybody overeats. We all have Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we all eat a little bit too much during the time of the year. I get it. But binge eating is not the same thing. So you might have this problem if you regularly eat a lot of food, especially if it's in within a few hours. Even when you're not hungry, especially, just to try to drown out the uncomfortable emotions that you're experiencing. And then most of the time afterwards, you feel a ton of guilt and shame about it. And now if you're on your fitness journey and you're experiencing these things, you might have some compensatory behaviors or thoughts or attitudes of, I'll make up for it tomorrow, I'll overexercise tomorrow. You're trying to do extra cardio to burn off the extra calories that you took in. But this can only exacerbate that problem, especially when we know exercise output can increase hunger, which is going to drive up that desire to eat and can put you in the same predicament that you were in and that we're trying to avoid by this discussion in the first place. Now, what's really important to understand is that this disorder is treatable. Your doctor can help you stop, and I think it's really important to also seek out help, go to a therapist who's trained in eating disorders so that you can get the support that you need to overcome this issue. Because again, I do believe that eating disorders, whether it's binge eating or anorexia, is a form of self-harm. Okay, we tend to only look at anorexia because they're starving themselves like it's a problem, but binge eating has consequences to your health, to your longevity, to your life, and we need to take this seriously. Again, look at how prevalent this is. The numbers absolutely made my jaw hit the floor. So the first step that most people need to understand, whether it's binge eating or any type of coping mechanism that you have, is to understand why you're doing it. And I've talked a little bit about this in a previous video that I've done, so feel free to check that out. But now I want to dive into 6 reasons that you binge eat. And again, this is not me judging you. I work with hundreds of women who've struggled with the same issues, and it's perpetual, unfortunately, especially with how prevalent diet culture is and this pressure to fit into this specific mold so that you can feel like you're worthy. And I just want a disclaimer here, you've always been worthy, okay? Self-worth is not something that you build. It's not something that you continue to climb up. It's revealed over time when you stop trying to fit into a mold that maybe wasn't built for you. When you allow yourself to be who you actually are instead of trying to force yourself into the shoulds and musts and have-tos, and I'm supposed to, and I need to, and once I achieve this, then I'll feel that way. Once I have these things, then I'll feel this way. I'm telling you, that's not true. It's a story that you're telling yourself based on all of the narratives in society that you must achieve, experience, look like, have, all these things to then be validated as worthy. I work with a lot of people in many different arenas, from politics to law to their own businesses. And what I can tell you is, especially the people who work in businesses or women who climb the ladder in corporate careers, is that they're chasing this status. They're trying to be this idea. And it's like, once I can get there, if I can prove everybody wrong who doubted me, then I'm somehow good enough. But I want to break this to you now. And again, some of you will have to go through this pattern of your life to get to the thing to realize how unfulfilling it is. Nothing in the external world is going to fix an internal void. And I know some of you are going to go, okay, that's really woo-woo. Like, I used to be so anti-woo-woo, it's stupid. Until I hit rock bottom in my own journey. And then I had to look inward. And that changed my life. Changing my mind changed my life. And the people that I work with, a lot of the times, it's not that you guys don't know what you need to do. Most people know they need to eat a little bit healthier. They know they need to eat protein. They know they need to exercise. They know all the things. They just cannot do it. And the same thing with overeating or emotional eating. It's like, you know you shouldn't do that. You know that it's not good for you, but you don't have the right tools to overcome the issue that you're facing. And so while you want to stop it, it almost feels like you can't control the behavior that you're engaging with. So here are 6 reasons why you binge eat. Maybe. Again, I don't want to say these are true across the board, but these are some of the most common reasons that people engage with this type of coping mechanism. So it can stem from a lot of different things. And I think one of the most important ones that I think people overlook, because everyone wants to talk about, you're just not disciplined, you're lazy and fat. And I just think that that's absolutely awful, especially when fitness professionals say that to people. But anyways, there are issues like your genetics, right? Eating disorders tend to run in families. So if your mother or your grandmother had binge eating disorder, you're more likely to do it. And research shows that a number of genes that affect binge eating, that affect eating behavior, may be passed down through families. Those genes can affect brain circuits that control appetite and mood. A problem with your genes may increase the odds that you'll have binge eating disorder. But other things trigger it too. Family, for example. Perhaps you watched your mom or your dad overeat often, or maybe even you learned to diet with them when you were like 8 years old. I had a client who was doing Slim Fast with her mom at the age of 8. Right? A lot of these issues with weight or your relationship with food tend to be generational. And the habits that you learn from the people around you may influence the way that you eat in general. Maybe you had family that was like, you got to eat everything on the plate, clean plate club, right? There's kids starving in Africa. And if you don't eat that, you know, that says that you're a bad person. And so you learn all of these behaviors at a very, very young age. Still, eating disorder organizations say that parents and families aren't to blame. And I think that that's also important. Building resentment towards your parents, who are probably doing the best that they can based on their current experience, what they understand about the world, what they understand about themselves, and obviously the experiences that they find themselves in. And so while your issues may not be your fault, I do think it's important to say that your issues are your responsibility to take control of. Because if you don't want to continue to pass that down to your kids, to your grandkids, for this to go on beyond your years of being here, then you have the power to change that. You really do. And I'm not saying it's easy. It's absolutely not easy. Any type of change in your life is not easy, right? We always default to what's familiar, even if that's uncomfortable. Now, another reason that you might binge eat is due to depression. And if you're depressed, you may be more likely to binge. About half of people with binge eating disorder have had depression. And scientists aren't sure whether depression causes binge eating or vice versa. And there are still some questions. Are people with depression more likely to binge, or do the guilt and shame of binge eating make people depressed? Something that we're still trying to sort out in the scientific realm of what we can study and what we can observe, and also looking at what people individually report. Low self-esteem is also really important. Often people who binge aren't happy with the way that they look. You might think badly about your body because of what others say or have said. You might compare yourself with TV and magazine photos that emphasize this thinness of culture. And this might give you what's known as a negative body image. And such low self-esteem can lead to binge eating. And after binging, a person feels guilt or shame because they ate too much. These feelings can cause even more overeating, right? It's just reinforcing that experience of negative emotion. I don't want to feel that. Let me cope with it this way. Now I feel bad. I don't want to deal with that negative emotion. Let me cope with it this way. And just continues to perpetuate this negative cycle that can, again, deteriorate your health over time. Especially if you get into purging, which I'm not going to talk about today, but maybe I'll do a video on that if you guys are interested in hearing more about the health consequences of getting into binge eating and purging, because there are lots of horrific things that can happen to somebody who does this over a long enough time horizon. Another reason that people tend to overeat, binge eat, is relative to their emotional state, which, if you guys don't know, we're always feeling things, regardless of whether you're aware or not, is a different story. Some people compartmentalize their emotion, and this is why a lot of therapists will tell people that they need to feel their feelings. But there's also a degree in a population in which that's not applicable, which is people who are like overly invested in their emotions and they feel everything all the time and they're a little bit, you know, sporadic they're a little bit more sporadic or just over emotional relative to the context of what's happening, and they need to learn to self-soothe. So I also think it's really important that while you guys listen to people on the internet, that you understand the context in which the message is being sent out for, just kind of like the fitness industry. Not everybody needs to lose weight. Same with the arena of psychology and other things, right? It's not always applicable to you as the viewer. And I think just being able to discern that so that you're not getting hyper-focused on information that may not be right for you is also really important to consider. But another thing is obviously stress and anxiety. And some people binge after they've gone through a major stressful event like divorce or losing a job. And emotional eating can be temporary and may not be a binge eating disorder, which again is really important to delineate. Everybody overeats. Everybody can get into emotional eating. So it's really important not to think that because you overeat a little bit that you now have binge eating disorder. And if you follow people on the internet, a lot of people will talk about I binged. but it's not the same thing as actually having a binge eating disorder. It's wildly different, and we need to be clear about the language that we're using, because language has meaning, okay? Just little things like grinding my gears. That said, people with the disorder are usually more likely to overeat if they're anxious or stressed. So really important to just check in with yourself, especially if you're somebody who tends to do it at night or after work, right? If your work day is stressful and there's somebody at your job that you fucking can't hate, it's somebody at your job that you can't fucking tolerate, and you come home and you're carrying that stress and you're carrying that anxiety, and the first place that you put yourself is in the kitchen. Well, if you know that you are susceptible to overeating, it's kind of like taking an alcoholic to the bar after work, like not a good situation. So don't do that to yourself. Don't set yourself up to behave in ways in which you don't want to be behaving. Now, extreme dieting is also something that can amplify or even manifest this type of behavior. And sometimes an attempt to lose weight can lead to this disorder or behavioral pattern around eating in itself. And this is especially true when people follow unhealthy diets to try to lose weight, such as skipping meals or eating too little. And if they don't reach their goal weight, they might feel so guilty and terrible about themselves that they eat even more. This is obviously something that I'm very passionate about, because I see it all the time in the fitness industry, because that is, you know, where my business actually lies, is in the fitness industry. But I'm actually really aiming to bridge the gap between psychology and physiology, because I care more about wellness and health than I do vanity and aesthetics. And everybody's got their thing, but I do think it's important that we do not convolute the two ideas, because they are not the same. And as somebody who was 6% body fat and competed in bodybuilding, I can tell you that I was not healthy at all, or even that fit, to be honest, because I couldn't sprint or jump if I wanted to. That is not necessarily health and wellness. And I just want to make sure that we're not getting confused with what we see on the internet, thinking that we're healthier if we're fucking shredded, because we're not. And it's also really important to really think through the types of diets that you're getting yourself into. If it causes you or forces you to eliminate foods that you love, I think it's really important to focus on how can you learn to work in things that you actually enjoy versus feel like you can never have them. Then we're in this black and white type of thinking, and you might be a perfectionist. So if you don't do everything, you've absolutely failed. And that can just perpetuate these patterns of behavior, especially around food. So I want to make sure that I close this with some tips to help you control these binges. And this is from Psychology Today. So just know that I didn't actually just come up with some of these things, but I do think it's important that we have some evidence-based tools here. So if you think you have this type of eating disorder, the first thing to do is obviously seek out help. Now, I also know that there's a ton of guilt and shame around doing behaviors that you know don't serve you, yet you just feel like you cannot control it. And I want you to know that you are valid, your feelings are valid, and you deserve the help, right? You deserve to get the help that you need, and you can overcome this. This is not a permanent state of being, but we do have to learn the right tools and the right frame of reference, and in the right perception of mind and perception of self, and new tools that you can then apply to help you break away from this type of coping mechanism. And treatment might include counseling, which I think is amazing. I think everybody should see a counselor. Yes, I'm going to school to be a clinical psychologist, so I'm a little bit biased in that, but truly working with a good therapist and a good counselor can be the thing that helps you change your life. And so while a lot of people kind of hate on therapists or counselors, I do think that the right fit for you can absolutely be life-changing. Sometimes they can even put you on medicine. So depending on where you're at with pharmaceuticals, again, they're not a must, but they can help a lot of people emotionally regulate themselves so they can learn better habits and better behavioral patterns that once they come off the medication, they can then sustain long-term, which again, just I could go on a tangent about that stuff, but I won't today. So here's a few tips that you can try to avoid binges, getting back to the notes. Keep a food diary, because this will help you learn when you tend to binge. You can also see what was going on in your life that may have led you to do it in the first place. The other thing is not skipping meals. Okay, it's really important to eat regular meals and snacks throughout the day. They'll keep your blood sugar steady. You won't feel hungry enough to binge. You can also portion out your food, which I think is really, really important. Just don't grab a big bag of chips and head to the couch and watch some TV and mindlessly scroll or eat, or just, you know, scroll social media, feel bad at yourself, shove another Dunkaroos in your mouth. Like, don't do that to yourself. Don't set yourself up to do that stuff. And also pay attention to the social media that you're consuming. If it makes you feel bad about yourself, then you should probably unsubscribe, because you don't deserve to have people that make you feel bad about you in your life. I just don't think you are obligated to follow anybody or interact with anybody, especially if it is causing a decline in your mental health or your emotional well-being. If it's not serving you, dispose of it. Okay. That can be the first boundary that you set if you struggle with setting boundaries. If it's not serving you, get rid of it. Make sure that you, if you know you have susceptibility to overeating certain foods, then one of the best things that you can do is actually portion them out. Now, what's also really important is when you're making your meals, try not to snack as you're making them and don't eat distracted, right? I know that these things might feel like, oh my God, I can't imagine eating my food without watching Netflix or YouTube. And I totally get it. If you're watching YouTube right now while you're eating, I'm going to tell you to pause this video so that you can be present with your food. But this actually really is helpful. Most people just overeat when they're distracted because they are not in tune with, are they hungry? Are they full? Are they just eating it because it tastes good? And so eating undistracted can actually give you a lot of clarity on where your hunger and satiety signals are so that you can start to decrease, again, these things from continuing to happen. You'll be much less likely to eat too much if you have to get up for more. So again, sitting down, being present with your food, not in the kitchen, not snacking on things, right? Go make your plate, sit down at the table outside of the kitchen and give yourself some time before you get up again and go for the next serving. Really check in, like, am I actually hungry? Or am I just feeling like I need to cope with something negative? Anxiety, stress, discomfort, maybe you're at dinner with people. Could be lots of different reasons. Now, the next thing that I think is really important is we want to understand why you're binging, right? Think about what's driving that. Now, if you understand kind of the triangle of behavior, and I talk about this a lot, but your thoughts drive your feelings, which drive your actions. And when we behave, we don't necessarily think about what thoughts am I having right now. And it's really hard to kind of do that because we have automatic thoughts. So the best thing to do is actually backtrack to the emotion. What am I feeling? And try to label that thing or give it an identity so that you know what is stimulating that habit loop to be activated. What are the emotions that are really pulling you to behave in such a manner? And then what you want to try to do is find another solution that can give you the same psychological experience and emotional experience. So maybe you tend to overeat or binge when you leave work because you come home to nothing and you're lonely and you're isolated and you are looking for comfort and connection. Well, food's not going to give you that, but it can distract you from that uncomfortable emotion. But maybe you have friends or family or, you know, a spouse who's working late or somebody that can support you and give you that feeling of comfort and safety and connection that you're really struggling with, the actual problem, not the perceived problem. And so spending some time with yourself and getting to know yourself and understanding why you're behaving this way is really, really important. But again, there is no judgment here on my channel. I always tell people that when you're trying to investigate yourself, if you're working on personal development, which is what I personally do with our clients at Level Up, then you have to lead with curiosity, not judgment. Because the moment that you evoke judgment upon yourself, you're going to activate negative emotions. And if you activate more negative emotions and you already have triggers of negative emotions that trigger and stimulate this habit loop that's causing binge eating or other type of dysfunctional behaviors, it's not useful. It's not going to help you get to the root cause of the problem and help you actually find clarity to fix it. So regardless of whether you struggle with this, I just want you to know, one, obviously you're not alone. And many people suffer in silence with this. Again, my channel is not for judgment or ridicule of people when it comes to topics like this, or truly ever. I prefer people just disagree with thoughts, but you are worthy and you can get help. And it doesn't make you weaker to ask for help. I actually think it makes you stronger to be able to raise your hand and say, I'm struggling and I need help and I can't do this on my own. Because you will get to solving that problem a lot faster. So thank you guys for being here today. I appreciate you. If you liked this video, leave a comment, subscribe to the channel, and stay tuned for what's next.